Lake Effect continues with an all-books edition on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Teich. Life can be a series of forked roads that keep us thinking, what would I be now if I had gone that other way instead? In Benjamin Lytall's debut novel, A Map of Tulsa, Jim Praley is returning home from his first year of college in New York. He becomes infatuated with Adrienne, the daughter of a wealthy man, and teaches her to paint while she shows him the city he grew up in. It's a novel that takes on the meaning of home, what it means to discover our passions, and the way we can understand people and places better when we return to them years later. Lytall tells Lake Effect's Nathan Royster what he finds so appealing about the subject of hometowns in literature.
I think that I was drawn to write about a hometown, my hometown, because I didn't really understand it. I had been living in New York, and I felt that New York was kind of an open book. It was easy to figure out. But I looked back at Tulsa and realized how much I had missed out on. You know, I kind of have a Milwaukee story, actually. A good friend who I know from college grew up here, and I told him I was going to come to Milwaukee and read Boswell books. And I asked him if he'd ever heard of that, because I knew he still comes back here a lot. And he said he hadn't. You know, he grew up, I mean, I don't know if it was in the suburbs or somewhere just on the periphery of town, but he said that the circles that he traveled in, he just wouldn't know about something like that. And I could really relate to that because in Tulsa, growing up, it was hard to figure out where the action was, especially when you're a teenager and living with your parents and you're still exploring your freedoms. You might not know what's going on in your own hometown. So I kind of wanted to write a novel about a guy who's discovering all of that, not in New York or LA or the places where so many novels are set, but in Tulsa.
Has Tulsa changed since you wrote the novel, do you feel?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's been in many ways a hard decade, but in some ways a good decade for American cities. I think that people have, you know, recognized that downtowns are really important. The whole idea of lofts and stuff like that has reinvigorated a lot of older districts. That certainly happened in Tulsa, and it's a lot, if I can use this word, it's just a lot cooler than it was when I was growing up in the 90s. I don't think I could have set the book in the present day. It wouldn't have made as much sense. The idea of dissatisfaction, you know, and boredom that a teenager feels has changed. I think there's just more to do now, in Tulsa at least.
And that's interesting that you bring up the point that it was in the 90s because while I was reading the novel, I was thinking about how very consciously you had to think about what technologies were in that time period. And even as far back as 7 years ago, cell phones were not something everybody had necessarily. Was it something that you had to spend a lot of time on in order to get anachronistically right?
I did have to watch that, and I got help on that from my editor, actually. You know, I think at a certain point she said, look, Google, they didn't have Google Maps back then. Technology is convenient, and I wanted those conveniences, but I wasn't allowed them.
Did this novel, while writing it, let you go back to Tulsa in a way that you couldn't have in real life?
Yeah, for sure. I did go back to Tulsa while I was writing the novel. I still have a lot of family there, and I'm very loyal to them. But it was a bit strange to, you know, spend a couple of months sitting in an apartment in Brooklyn thinking about Tulsa and making things up and taking liberties with little questions of geography and then flying there and being in, you know, the back of a minivan with my parents looking at the, you know, skyline that I had sort of romanticized and seeing that it was just regular normal life. Everybody was going about their business. And I wondered, you know, what right did I have to impose my imagination on this very real city?
And in the novel, the main character, Jim, has a kind of a summer fling with this girl named Adrienne. What about Adrienne transfixes Jim so much?
He likes her because she's attractive and all the normal reasons, but also because she's a very serious person. We were talking right before the interview started about the fact that Jim has just begun his career in college and Adrienne isn't even enrolled anywhere. And as a kind of, you know, kind of straight-A student sort of character, Jim is very challenged and therefore attracted by the idea that a really serious, ambitious person would decide she could become an artist not by going to a four-year college but by painting canvases. Now, that's not necessarily something I personally endorse, but I certainly through my character Jim's eyes see the appeal of someone who is so self-possessed, who is so serious, that she could just wake up every morning and not go on to, you know, the internet or anything, but paint and really work. And that's something that through the course of the novel, she teaches Jim, and he really appreciates that. So in many ways, it's not just a love story, but also a story about mentorship.
A lot of readers might assume that Jim is a stand-in for yourself. You know, a lot of literary personalities do that. They put themselves into the protagonist's character. Who does Adrienne represent?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think there is a real Adrienne. I got a nice fan letter from someone last week, and he said, you know, I have an Adrienne too. And I read that and I thought, well, I hate to tell you, but I don't have one. My character has, but I don't. Certainly, writing fiction is really tricky. I'm teaching a class on character right now in Chicago, and I have students who ask, can I base characters on real-life people? Will real-life people mind if I do that? And I think that's always a case-by-case question. But I knew that with this Adrienne character, if I based her on someone I really knew, I wouldn't have the freedom I needed. So I made her up.
You've been writing for the Lit Mags, and I think you were with the Wall Street Journal, right?
Yeah, I've written for them a few times.
Well, what compelled you to go from the book reviews, I believe you were doing, to this kind of a mountain of achievement for a writer, a novel?
Well, thank you for that. I always wanted to – I think most reviewers of novels wouldn't mind writing one themselves. In my case, I was reviewing a novel a week for many years, and I learned a lot from that. And one of the things that I learned was that I liked novels. I had been writing kind of experimental short stories, but I kind of got the ambition to really do something lengthy from reading them. And I also began to realize that maybe I didn't need to be quite as far out as I thought. I kind of began to read books like, I don't know if you've read Gilead, which is a great book about Iowa. But it just really touched me, and I began to realize that like something like Oklahoma would be a good subject. I didn't have to necessarily write, you know, like science fiction. I could just write about people like me. Also, writing book reviews, you don't make very much money. And I began to realize that money would be another great subject for a novel. So although it's not at the center of my book, I think you can really read it in the background as being a book about, you know, the struggles of someone in their 20s who doesn't really know what kind of life that they can make for themselves in the world.
Now, the post-college angst that a lot of us will get.
Yeah.
What now?
Yeah. Book reviewing is a really good way to accentuate that angst if you're not feeling it sufficiently.
Well, and with the New York Times, I read an interview you did with them. It said that, and you, as you were mentioning just now, that you were doing the experimental kind of metafiction. Did you feel like you learned anything from being that far out that you brought to this novel?
I'm sure I did. And I still write that kind of work as well, and have kind of gone back to it a little bit after I finished this more traditional novel, hopefully having learned a lot. I think that my ambition as a writer would be to be read by a lot of people, but to keep it interesting for myself. And I think, you know, the novel I've written, A Map of Tulsa, is something that anybody would read and enjoy. But insofar as it's a little bit different than every novel out there, I think it might be because, you know, I started out writing poetry, and then I moved into some more kind of, you know, crazy short stories. And I can bring a little bit of that craziness to the prose of, you know, what is basically a highly accessible novel.
So there's not going to be a Benjamin Little Infinite Jest?
Probably not, because I haven't read it yet. So it would be hard for me to write my own. Actually, maybe that would make it much easier now that I think about it.
Yeah, you just impose your own idea of what it is on it.
Yeah.
And then it'd be so meta that no one...
Yeah, that's a killer idea. Thank you.
Yeah, you can have
it. Yeah, I'm stealing it.
Just put me in the liner notes at the end.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, how do you define home now?
Oh, that's a hard question. I think it's still Tulsa, because what else could I say? Both of my parents are still alive, and they live there as well as my younger brother. But I can tell you, after a week or so in Tulsa, I'm ready to go home, which is always somewhere else, so... You know, that's a problem that a lot of us have. One of the things that I wanted to do in this novel was to kind of tell the story of having too much choice as to where to live. It's a privilege to have a choice as to where to live. I know that. But it can also be a dilemma. And I think that nowadays, there's a little bit more mobility. There's a little bit more travel. And I didn't know if everybody was writing enough about that. There was a point in my life when I felt like I could decide to move back to Tulsa and become a Tulsan. And though it wasn't clear what kind of career might be waiting for me in Tulsa, I felt really tempted for emotional reasons. And that's something that happens in the book to Jim.
Well, Benjamin Lytle, thank you for being on Lake Effect today.
Thank you so much.
Benjamin Lytle's debut novel is called A Map of Tulsa. He spoke with Lake Effect's Nathan Royster on a recent trip to Milwaukee for an event at Boswell Book Company. I'm Mitch Teich. That's all for an All Books edition of the show today. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3 for Lake Effect Weekend from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next. It's 11 o'clock.